I know what I'm saying, but it's a speech or whatever. What time are we forecasting until?
I hope you make the 10 o'clock news tomorrow.
Still be here this time tomorrow. Don't need to go home for scrutiny.
Please don't.
Yeah. Corporate. I hope that's not.
Yes. Corporate.
That's not.
I don't know.
I'm with you, boss.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening, sir.
I would like to welcome everyone to the Crimes Meeting. I would like to begin by handing over to Mr. Elson, Head of Planning and Infrastructure, to go through the housekeeping rules.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a couple of brief things to point out. We don't have a fire alarm test planned for this evening, therefore, should the alarm sound, please leave the building immediately. The fire exit for those in the chamber are those doors to the side of the room, which are over there and over there, and then obviously at the back of the chamber. If you're in the adjacent room, officers will direct you out of the building. Please, can I also ask that all mobile phones are switched off or put to silent if you intend to film or record the meeting. If anyone does require toilets, these are back along the corridor on which you came in and are cycled. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. I'll now read out the statutory declarations. All persons present are reminded that the meeting will be recorded, and by attending this meeting, you are giving your consent to being filmed and your image being used. As you can see, we have welcomed the local media into our meeting tonight, and this includes camera crews. My thanks to BBC and ITV who have agreed that these cameras will remain static throughout tonight to ensure a smooth and undisturbed meeting. Can I ask if anyone other than the media intends to film the meeting tonight? No, thank you. Council is aware that planning applications may be controversial and emotive for those affected by the decisions made by this committee. However, all persons present are reminded that the council will not tolerate abusive or aggressive behaviour towards staff or other visitors attending this meeting, and anyone behaving inappropriately will be required to leave the meeting unnoticed. Please may I remind members of the importance of using your microphones, particularly at tonight's meeting. We have a lot of interest from members of the public tonight, so much so that some have been seated in other rooms and are listening to the proceedings via the audio system. If the microphones are not used, these people will be unable to follow the proceedings. So please, could I ask that members ensure their microphones are used at all times, and once you have finished speaking, would you please switch them off? Some of the speakers will not be used to the system, so I would like to ask Councillor Wyatt if he would supervise the switching on and off of the speakers. Is that okay, Councillor Wyatt? Thank you. Due to the nature of the meeting, there may be a requirement to adjourn. This is to allow members to seek advice from officers or to allow for comfort breaks. Agenda item 1, apologies for absence. Apologies have been received from Councillor David Everett, who has been substituted by Councillor John Geary, and Councillor Daniel Harrison, who has been substituted by Councillor John Bridges. Are there any apologies drafted from anyone else? No? Thank you. Agenda item 2, declarations of interest. All members are aware of the code of conduct. Are there any declarations of interest? Could you please state if it's pecuniary or non-pecuniary, to which item it relates, and for what reason? I will start this off by saying that I have been lobbied both by email and by letter. Does anyone else wish to make any declaration? I will go around the chamber. Dan, can I start with the Deputy Chairman, John?
Thank you. Yes, I've had many emails and a few letters and a few phone calls as well. And I am here with open mind. I'll listen to the speaker who's got to say. Thank you.
Councillor Gearan.
Thank you, Chairman. I was present at the presentation by the applicants. I've also been lobbied by email, but retain an open mind.
Thank you, Councillor Gearan. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chairman. I've been emailed many, many times and letters posted to my door as well. Totally without influence. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Councillor Canning.
Yes, I've also been lobbied by email, by letter, by phone, and also attended the presentation. And I'm here with open mind.
Thank you, Councillor Canning. Councillor Bridget.
I'm another member who was at the presentation given by the applicant, and similarly, I've had a lot of lobbying but by email, but I'm here with a completely open mind.
Thank you, Councillor Bridget. Councillor Bridges.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I've also attended a meeting, a briefing on it by the applicants. I've also, non-pecuniary as well, I've also had been approached by Clifton Campbell Parish Council, who didn't feel that they'd been duly notified, which I have forwarded on all the information, and I know that this authority has forwarded all the information to them, but I come here with an open mind on the decision making tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Bridges. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you, Chairman. Lobbied without influence.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Holmes. Councillor Green.
Thank you, Chair. I was at the briefing, the hour and a half briefing by the applicant, and had about 45 emails and a letter delivered at 10 o'clock last night. I come here tonight without
influence. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillor Green. Councillor Wyatt. Thank you, Councillor Wyatt. We now move on to agenda item 3, minutes. Can I confirm the minutes from the last Planning Committee meeting held on the 6th of August 2019 as an accurate record of proceedings? Do I have a secretary?
Move, Chair.
That is seconded by Councillor Legree. All in favour, please show. Anyone against? That was unanimous and the minutes are agreed. We now move on to the only agenda item for this evening, agenda A1, land M42 Junction 11. Stretton Enfield, Leicestershire. Details of this are on pages 9 to 12 in your booklets. Please, could I ask that all persons present respect to those that are taking part in the meeting, officers, speakers, and members, and allow them to speak uninterrupted. Please, could Mr. Knightley, Principal Planning Officer, presented report.
Thank you, Chair. This proposal is made partly as a full application, partly as an outline application, and is primarily for storage and distribution units on a site of approximately 97 hectares adjacent to B5493 and close to Junction 11 of the M42 A1-2. approximately 59% of the site is classified as best or most versatile recoverable. Yeah. Application site. I'll just show you the part of the site which subjects the full application. The full element of the proposals relates to 5 Class B8 storage and distribution units on the southern and western parts of the site, ranging in size between around 20,000 and 97,000 square metres. The units are intended to be occupied in the first instance by Jaguar Land Rover or JLR, and will be used as a new global parts logistics centre for aftermarket parts. Now this is the area subject to the outline application allowance, purely illustrative. The outline elements of the application will be located within the northeastern section of the site and will be for units falling within classes B1C, which is light industrial, B2, which is general industrial, or B8 use. What an outline form only, the units on this part of the site are intended to be occupied in the first instance by DSV Group, a global transport and logistics company based in Denmark. The outline part application proposes commercial and amenity uses, potentially including a management suite for development, a creche, an office, a gym or a cafe, as well as an amenity area or garden with a multi-use games area used for employees and local residents. The scheme includes 2 proposed points of access on the B4493, principal access via a new roundabout to the eastern part of the site, and a secondary one to the cars and buses at the southwest end. I just want to show you a few photos of the site. Just where the southeast part of the site, vicinity of the proposed main access, adjacent to the new roundabout. Just looking in the other direction towards the top. The next shot's a bit further along the B5493. See the two roundabouts, sign of distance there. Just a few now from the southern part of the site. Probably runs away, which crosses the site in this area. From there. And moving in towards the central part of the site, looking up towards the existing farm buildings on the site. Now, so it's quite looking for the site, sort of looking northwest of the general direction there, and towards the northeast, another one that general direction. And there's another farm to the north of the site, which you see in the background there. Moving into the top part of the site now, and across into parts and all parts of the site looking about west, I think, and back towards the existing bottom of the east and south towards the main road. Also the northwestern part of the site, so looking south again and east again. And then we approach the western side of the site, this is on the site boundary, looking back towards the east side there. In the southwestern part of the site, again, I've got a public pathway which passes both this point. And then just a couple there at the sites of the proposed southwestern access. On there, and looking back towards the A42 direction there. This is the proposed site layout, and including the circulatory system vehicles and the proposed landscapes, means the areas. Which include some pedestrian recreational routes. I just want to show you some details of the proposed recreational routes. This is a plan showing existing rights of way. Existing rights of way are shown in solid black lines, and there's proposed ones shown dotted, which hopefully you can make out around the periphery of the site. These have been subject to a separate footpath diversion order. You'll see the existing routes of footpath, which is currently crosses the central part of the site and ends rather abruptly, but it needs to be 5493. So the applicant's proposing a new permissive path running parallel to the A5493, which is intended to help create a more the scale of the site, there are some fairly significant changes in levels from one end to the other. This plan shows the extent of cut and fill proposed four level facets of proposed units. The areas in red are the areas requiring both cuts, and the areas in green the areas of both fill. There's brighter colours around the edge, purples, and dark reds, which show proposed landscape buttons and the excavations for the proposed buttons. So the principal development, the site is located outside of the development as defined in adopted Conquest Essential Local Plan. However, policy S3 does allow for development outside the limits of development in certain circumstances, and those circumstances include employment development where it complies with policy EC2. That policy provides that where evidence indicates an immediate need or demand for additional employment land, the council will consider favourably proposals that meet the identified need in appropriate locations, subject to a number of criteria in respect of accessibility and means of plans. Your planning committee report is accompanied by a detailed assessment of employment land need and demand, and which is attached to the main report as an appendix. That assessment sets out the findings of the district council's planning policy team and specialist consultants, appointed to advise the council on employment land issues, and concludes that there is not only an immediate demand, but also that there is a qualitative need. As only one of an immediate need or an immediate demand needs to be demonstrated, meet the requirements of policy EC2. This is accepted that the principal development would comply with the policy and that its location outside limits of development would not in itself mean that the application was contrary to policy S3 or EC2. Subject to complying with the criteria under these policies, the scheme being called in accordance with the local plan. Just to run through some of the details, some of the actual units for you now. These are the five units proposed by the full application. This is unit one. It's near the proposed site entrance to the standard site. So, elevations. I'm going to make out the grey panelling unit, which is intended to help reduce the massing of the buildings when viewed against the sky and surrounding landscape. And then, but there's a sort of more, you'll see a more contemporary style of its own. There's a bit of its generous image there, which just gives an idea of the arrangement of the panel units and then the more contemporary office at the front. This is unit two. This is one of the large units running closest to the 5.93. Get some elevations for you. The same principle applies to all the units with the paneling and the more contemporary office. Again, there's a indicative illustration of the office. Plot three, that sort of thing, is at the west end now. Again, those elevations. Four is another large one. Northern side, and it's a unit very similar to the large unit on the main road from southern side. Finally, at the western corner, I suppose, western corner of the unit 5, and layout elevations. The application is accompanied by an environmental statement and detailed issues set out in are considered in sections 5.3 to 5.15 of the main report. Particularly, sections set out the development is considered acceptable in terms of issues such as ecology, historic environment, air quality, ground conditions, and flood risk and drainage issues. Whilst the site is located within the catchment of the River Mees, site is special site of interest and special area conservation. Proposals include measures to pump valve drainage to a sewage treatment plant outside of the catchment of the River Mees, and therefore avoiding any impacts on water quality from increased valve flows. So the noise impacts measures are included in the scheme to limit noise during construction work. Whilst there will be some noise generated on the site once it's operational, the impacts are for the most part identified as likely to be limited given existing background noise. The environmental statement also assesses the noise impacts from the associated development, but again, these noise impacts will be limited. No objection to raise by the District Council's environmental protection. The issues set out in that environmental statement also include the landscape and visual impacts of the proposals and the landscape visual assessment section of the environmental statement has been considered on the council's behalf by a landscape consultant. As part of the process of assessing the visual impacts of proposals, the environmental statement firstly identifies where, having regard to the contours that surround the landscape, the tops of the buildings could theoretically be seen from. And this is concerning the theoretical utility, which is the area shown there in blue. Then, when applying the effects of other features such as existing buildings and vegetation, the environmental statement then establishes the visual envelope of the sites, which scheme can be seen within those areas shown here. The scheme involves significant amounts of landscape mitigation, including landscape buffers with public access and habitat creation. That is an indication there of a typical cross section of the landscape and buffers, just to give you an idea of the scale of the landscape. The District Council Landscape Consultant advises that both buildings will be of a significant scale, but that the use of the patterned metal cladding would help break up the massing, particularly when seen against the backdrop of a cloudy sky. He also advises that the proposed landscape mounting would help screen the burn at time. The environmental statement assesses the landscape view impacts from a number of locations around the site, and computer generated images have been produced by the applicant to show the impacts over time. I'll just show you a few of them now. This is the view first one, it's Joseph. 11, that's the existing position. So, and then what we have is three images. The top one is the impact on completion, the middle one is after 5 years, and the bottom one is after 15 years. Just to demonstrate how the new changes as the landscape matures. The next one is this is from No Man's Heath, again, that's the existing position. And the three views, year one, year five, year 15. This is in the west, on the lane that takes us towards Clifton Capital, and the existing, and then year one, year 15. This is the northern side of the site on the 844. You can see that. Between the site and the again, see there. As you'll see in the images, the proposed development will be visible from some locations and particularly so before the landscape matures. Whilst the number of locations where the visual impacts will be significant are relatively limited, there will nonetheless be some adverse effects, and this would need to be weighed in the overall plan balance and take into account when considering the scheme's performance against local plan policy EC2. The opposite view is that the benefits of the scheme, including the economic impacts and the scheme's contribution to meeting an identified need for employment land, would outweigh the landscape individual effects. Moving on to access now. As I mentioned earlier, there's two points, proposed points of access, a principal access via a new roundabout onto the 5493, and a secondary access at the southwest end of the site, to show you those. Proposed roundabouts adjacent to the existing coastal level roundabout, and then the secondary access at the other end of the site. In terms of the accessibility of the site, it's not currently well served by public transport, and in order to seek to reduce the number of journeys by car, the developer proposes to provide bus services for employees, and with the services targeted towards those settlements expected to provide the most number of employees for development. In addition, there will be a travel plan implemented, along with other measures to encourage use of more sustainable means of travel, including the provision of bus passes and travel packs for employees. In respect to the impacts on the wider highway network, the County Highway Authority has assessed the modelling provided in the applicant's transport system. In particular, it shows the majority of development traffic will be likely to be the M42, A42, and mainly in the section towards town of Birmingham, and to a degree the A444 towards the A5 direction. However, it also shows that the network is capable of accommodating this traffic, and the County Highway Authority agrees with these findings. In terms of the A444 traffic, ongoing monitoring of HGV of using this route is proposed, with additional measures proposed to be implemented in the event that this monitoring indicates higher than expected levels of HGV use for the A444. subject to the amendments, Leicester County Council raises no objection to the application. The proposals will also impact upon the network within other local highway authorities areas, including Warwickshire, Derbyshire, and Staffordshire County Councils. But again, no objection to raise by those authorities. The proposed works act, objection 11. Ways in there has applied us this simplified version which shows location and traffic lights not serving, shows existing footways, they're the ones in yellow, but your upgrade one is shown. In terms of the effects on strategic roads such as the M42, A42, A5, Highways England has been consulted and is content with the impacts on the strategic network, subject to implementation of the mitigation works and roundabout. Mitigation comprises partial signalisation around that and incorporating one process of optimised vehicle evacuation in order to maximise efficiency of the junction. Subject to the implementation of this mitigation, Highways England raises no objections. The scheme is therefore considered acceptable by all relevant highway authorities in terms of its impact on both the local and strategic climate network. Overall, therefore, the site is considered suitable in principle for the proposed development. And in terms of technical issues, when assessed in the wider context of sustainable development as set out in the NPPF, the proposed development will be considered to benefit from the presumption in favour of sustainable development, approval of recommended subject conditions, and subject to section 106 obligations. Just draw members' attention to the update sheet tonight. Let's see, there's some additional third party representations, there's some additional comments from a number of parish councils, and there's some comments from the
Thank you, Mr. Knightley. Could I please now ask Mr. Darren Greeley on behalf of Stratton on the Fields Parish Meeting to come forward to make their representation? You have 3 minutes to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. I live in Stratton on the Field and representing the residents of Stratton on the Field and Parish Council. Meads Valley is a place about stunning rural beauty. It is an arable farming area for centuries, and it is possible to see the spires of 7 churches from 7 different villages and hamlets, of some which are 11th century. Iron Properties' public examination states they have identified the site of Junction 11 as suitable for development because there is a limited settlement in the immediate vicinity of the site, and the area has limited ecology value. Is it suitable because limited people are inconvenienced and limited compliance, so easy to push planning through? Limited ecology value shows disregard for the local environment. From the very own statement, due to its isolation, no public transport exists, no footpaths or cycle paths exist, no one can even walk to this site. No street lighting exists, so does this not, all these points not render this site unsuitable? The only justification for this site is that JLR have signed up to some of the BQ units on this development. The residents are prepared 42-page document which mitigates all of the points of the positive points put forward for this planning development, and ask and question that if all the members of the council have actually read that document and are aware of its points. I live back exactly 1 mile from Junction 11 on the A444. My commute at peak times from Junction 11 takes 10 to 15 minutes of the morning. The ecology of this highly elevated area makes it a desirable environment for wildlife, bats, birds, etc. Proposed development will result in the loss of 1,780 metres of hedgerow from the proposed site. 1,230 metres is important hedgerow over 30 years old. Most of the hedgerows on the site are considered habitats of principal importance. The NPPF statements was the EM one stage where a proposal for development would result in significant harm to areas such as the River Mees catchment area. This would result in harm and the planning permission should then be reviewed. The local plan of Northwest Leicestershire District Local Plan adopted in 2017 does not identify this site for development. The developers ignore the fact that the requirement for this site has already been fulfilled 10 miles up the road at East Midlands Gateway, and their own plans to build another park at Junction 9 of the M42, which is already close, such as Jaguar Land Rover. Birmingham City Council have already granted permission for SUE in North Birmingham. The Because the question I ask in this day and age, when we are all, myself as an individual, large corporate developers in the room, manufacturers who are morally and corporate responsibility to shareholders for looking after our green and eco credentials, and to the councillors who will police and allow this contentious and questionable development to take place on these greenfield sites.
Thank you, that's 3 minutes.
Why? When in this entire local area?
That's 3 minutes, so you have to stop.
No, please, don't leave.
One statement first.
Yeah, if any of the councillors wish to ask you a question, are you willing to accept questions?
Yes.
You are. Does any councillor wish to ask any questions? Councillor John McGrath.
Good afternoon. You mentioned ecology. Yes. And I read in many of the objections is that there is unique wildlife on that land, but nobody's actually identified to me what that unique wildlife is on that land. Is there anything on that land that you're aware of that is unique to that area that can't be mitigated by tree development from there?
Specific species of bats and larks that are fully detailed in the 42-page document prepared by RAMP. All the species are fully detailed in there.
Chair, all my question was, is there anything that's unique to that area? Is there a flora and fauna that is unique to that part of Leicestershire?
The larks.
Does anyone else wish to ask a question?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Please, could Councillor Emma Bird, on behalf of Appleby Magna Parish Council, come forward to make their representations? I remind you that you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. I'm here to represent the parish of Appleby Magna regarding the concerns and objections towards this development. The proposed development site is within 1.5 kilometres of the parish. Is likely to have many serious effects upon our community, a few of which I'd like to highlight today. The site is identified as countryside in the adopted local plan, and the scheme will be sited outside the limits to permitted development. Our community is based upon a rural environment with many health and mindfulness benefits. The irreversible loss of a significant area of best and most versatile farmland, trees, many of which have tree protection orders on them, hedgerows, habitats and ecology, will change the landscape of our surrounding area detrimentally, irrecoverably and completely. The intended development site will have a negative effect on the local watercourses, and your own report mentions the detrimental impact upon the River Mees special area of conservation, which our local watercourses flow into. The brooks flowing through our parish are responsive to runoff from the land, and if this changes, it will impact upon water quality, ecology and present residents through increased flood risks. There'll be considerable impact upon the character of the landscape during and predominantly after construction, as the parish is within the envelope of visual impact. Our views will change from a gently rolling, rural, arable landscape to one of large, developed, grey, patterned buildings that are obviously artificial elements within the countryside. I note that the District Council's consultant didn't undertake a full separate landscape and visual impact assessment, which is concerning, as even the environmental statement says, due to the scale and type of the proposed development, it is inevitable that there will be some significant adverse effects, especially concerned with particular landscape elements such as land use and character, which cannot be mitigated against. The parish is also concerned with the impact on the surrounding road network, with the increase of traffic on the main and village roads. Frequent incidents and accidents on the main routes encourage HGV drivers and commuters to look for alternatives. The planning application report highlights the significant difference between the anticipated HGV movements on the A444 South and the M42 South, and the numbers that the PRTN suggests. Essentially, a greater level of HGV traffic attracted to the A444 to and from the A5 rather than using the M42 South. Other concerns are that no limits are to be put on these smaller roads, just directional signage, which drivers are more than likely not going to ignore. The accessibility of the site by public transport is currently poor, and thereby a significant proportion of site users would have to access it by private car, which is not moving towards a low carbon economy. Insofar as public transport is concerned, the surrounding villages are not currently well served. The report mentions that key locations would not be provided with a level of service but potentially Measham would not be one of them. The local area will be subjected to obtrusive light and noise pollution 24 hours a day, 365, which in a rural small village will be highly noticeable after the recent council initiative of the park night lighting system. That concludes my observations. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Councillor. If any of the councillors wish to ask you any questions, are you willing to?
Yes.
Do any councillors wish to ask any questions? No. Thank you very much. Please could Caroline Jay, on behalf of Chilton Parish Meeting, come forward to make their representation. You have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak to you on behalf of Chilcote Parish Meeting. Development of this scale will make a massive and irreversible change to the character of the countryside surroundings of many villages. The key environmental issues of concern to Chilcote are being ably explained by other speakers, so I won't repeat them. These proposals are based on policy EC2 and the demand for these facilities, but this is only one side of the equation. This must still be balanced against the other considerations in this policy and is subject to the development not being detrimental to the wider environment. The proposals simply aren't compliant with this policy. They are severely detrimental to the character of a wide area of tranquil countryside. They conflict with the local plan as a whole by developing an area of nearly 100 hectares of countryside, dwarfing surrounding settlements. Development on this scale should be dealt with in the local plan. This provides a forum for three things. One, rigorous appraisal of different options. Two, consultation. And three, debate. Three very important things if the planning system is to be genuinely plan-led. The local plan making is to make a platform for local people to shape their surroundings as required by the National Planning Policy Framework. Rigorous appraisal of different options is carried out in the local plan process by sustainability appraisal, which is a legal requirement and it assesses options over the whole plan area or possibly wider. Proposals of this strategic scale should have this rigorous level of assessment, not a retrofitted justification of the decision to locate development on this site, with the applicant only assessing alternatives as far as existing allocated sites. Consultation in the local plan process allows interrogation of the evidence base over a period of 6 weeks. There has been no consultation on the employment land requirement considerations report appended to the committee report, nor the independent review carried out by GL Hearn, published on the council's website only yesterday. We knew a report had been commissioned and we're looking forward to the opportunity to comment on that report, an opportunity that the local plan process would have allowed, but which has been denied in this case. In the local plan process, there's an opportunity for the local communities to take part in the local plan examination and debate the evidence and the different options. This is a proper conversation facilitated by an independent inspector, not a one-way speaking opportunity limited to 3 minutes. So in summary, these proposals would conflict with the local plan and would result in loss of countryside on a strategic scale without the assessment of alternative options, consultation on the evidence behind it, and debate appropriate to development of this scale. For these reasons, Chilcote believe this application should be refused. Thank you.
Thank you. If any members of the committee wish to question you, are you willing to take a question? Does any member of the committee wish to ask a question? No? Thank you very much. Please put Councillor Darren Gelder, Oakthorpe, Donisthorpe and Aberystwyth Parish Council, on behalf of other affected parish councils, come forward to make their representations. As the other speakers, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, councillors. The Oakthorpe, Donisthorpe and Aberystwyth Parish Council in complete opposition to the proposal of development for the reasons that I will outline now. Traffic. Interesting to hear some of the comments made tonight. North West Leicestershire District Council Highways carried out a recent traffic survey June 27, 2019 on the A444, which showed the current level of traffic, vehicles were consistently exceeding the speed limit. The report stated that the 85th percentile speed is over speed limited, and under Association of Chief Police Officers Policy, ACPO, guidelines for speed enforcement, the above 85th percentile are very close to the limits for enforcement. The planning report itself in the transport assessment section 6, trip generation table 4, total vehicle trip generation, this gives you 12 hours total for light and OGV. We have from the traffic consultants the 24-hour figures of 8,000 light and 2,000 OGVs. 21% of light, which comes to 1,680 vehicles, will be using, or likely to use, the A444 Aylesford Road. Given there is nowhere apart from Overseal between Burton and the M42 that this traffic would come from, it is more than reasonable to assume the majority, if not all, of the forecast traffic will go through Aylesford. Again, it's interesting to receive today from North West Leicestershire District Council a notice that all county roads that are assigned the national speed limit have been reviewed to identify those with an accident rate higher than the national average. As a result of this review, Aylesford Road has been identified to have a total number of accidents above the national average. Therefore, in order to increase the general safety and reduce the accident rate, the county council proposes to reduce the speed limit from 60 to 50. The question would be, what impact on safety and accidents will another approximately 1,700 vehicles a day have? The parish council meets regularly with the local police. The local police recognise the A444 Aylesford Road as an accident black spot and have, on the record stated, the highest number of incidents in the area. Pollution, environmental damage. Increased air and light pollution in the National Forest, irreparable damage to the local landscape and environment, and invariably increased likelihood of major accidents on local roads. The River Meese is an SAC, is already damaged through pollution. The increased development and associated traffic and development will further damage and pollute the river and its tributaries, such as the Hooperah Brook. A recent research paper entitled Occurrence of Organic Phosphates in Particulate Matter of the Vehicle Exhaust and Outdoor Environment, a case study, Fabizinski 2018, states, was found that the total concentration of air particulate matter is directly related to traffic density, and such phosphate concentrates show its potential correlations to each other.
Thank you. If any of the councillors wish to ask you any questions, are you willing to answer?
I am.
Would any councillor like to ask any questions? Councillor John Geary.
Thank you. I was most interested to hear your comments on speeding vehicles along that stretch of road. And of course, by reducing the speed limit, there's little to make any real difference to that. If you're speeding, you're speeding, whether it be 40, 50 or 60 miles an hour. In that case, have you, the parish council, any clear ideas of how the speeding could be reduced along that carriageway?
It's interesting to say it has no impact yet. We've just received something today that says that reducing it, but it seems odd they didn't ask us to reduce it, but it has no impact. Yes, we have. There's been a number of considerations. We're currently using MVAS cameras, which we are looking to vote. We've got the post, which North West Leicestershire District Council have approved, and we've got those planned to come in. They'll be going in within the next 6 to 8 weeks. That's based on the current traffic levels that are there. Our major concerns, you can see there is a huge issue there now. The multiplying factor there is phenomenally dangerous and will deal with fatalities.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Geary. Does anyone else wish to ask a question? No? Thank you so much. Please put Sonia Lee on behalf of Appleby Environment come forward to make their representation. You have 3 minutes.
I I'm the chair of Appleby Environment, a community group, and we have support from CPRE Leicestershire for our case. The local plan makes provision for different land uses, employment, housing, agriculture, as well as protecting the countryside. It says additional employment sites should only get permission if their location is appropriate to that use, as determined by a range of environmental conditions. There is no rail link to the site and no plans for one. The applicants accept that most employees will come by car and from considerable distances. This means the environmental requirement for sustainable transport is not and will not be met. It will worsen the climate impact of transport in the district. Your countryside policy says that any acceptable development needs to safeguard and enhance the landscape, its appearance and character. The site is currently agricultural land, most of it the best and most versatile land. The applicants themselves say this scale of loss constitutes a major adverse effect. Your local plan says such land should be retained for agriculture. The site is in the Meath Sense Lowlands landscape, which is recognised as gentle rolling agricultural landscape, a rural remote character with small villages. The applicants say the development will have a major adverse effect on landscape character. Your consultant says there will be some very significant and permanent adverse effects, and that the scale of buildings would appear incongruous in the local landscape setting. So no one argues that the proposal will safeguard and enhance the landscape. 15 parish councils from 5 different district councils across the landscape area have objected to this proposal, an unprecedented number. This permanent major adverse impact is not about a few neighbours having their views spoiled. A huge development will be visible from all the nearby villages and from the surrounding higher countryside. It will change people's sense of place, the way they experience villages and country lanes and one village in relation to another. Policy says that isolated developments must not undermine the open character of the land between settlements. The land between the villages of Appleby, Chilcot, No Man's Heath and Stretton would be overwhelmed. The footpaths and country lanes in this area are well used by walkers and cyclists. It's the gateway to the National Forest, a core part of the district's strategy. This development will permanently destroy the sense of place of this part of the district. New footpaths and cycleways within a huge industrial site are no substitute for the footpaths that currently exist. Huge buildings will dwarf small villages and lanes. Countryside will disappear. I ask you to defend your local plan, which took you years to develop and get past. Protect our environment. Reject this application.
Thank you. If any members of the committee wish to ask you any questions, are you willing to answer them? Thank you. Does anyone wish to ask any questions? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. You talk about footpaths. Could you switch your microphone on?
Yeah.
Switch it off.
Okay.
Get a horrible echo. Have you monitored how much the existing footpaths are used?
I haven't done any personal monitoring, but I'm a member of Colville Ramblers and I know that these footpaths are regularly used.
Okay.
Councillor John Bridges.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, that's an interesting point Councillor Clark raised, because I actually went out the other day and I do like to protect the landscape as we can. But I think that a couple of my colleagues were about, it was almost impossible to actually use a one path. I managed to do it with several cuts and several things, so it didn't look like it can use too much. The main proposal one that's going to be moved.
Thank you, Councillor Bridges. Does anyone else wish to ask any questions? No? Thank you. Please could Christina Speakman, on behalf of the residents against Project Mercia, come forward to make their representation.
Mm-hmm.
You have 3 minutes.
The site is a national character area and special area for conservation. The brook runs adjacent to the site, runs into the River Meuse, SSR. Middlemarch Environmental, who carried out the environmental appraisals, concluded that the effects would be permanent, major and adverse. Natural England states that the Sens Meuse Valley is one of a gentle rolling landscape and the historic pattern should be conserved, including significant views. The development is at odds with the local plan. Salt Street, the prehistoric unmetered track, runs over the ridge from No Man's Heath. Natural England flags up increasing sustainable food production. DEFRA, in a letter to Craig Tracy MP last year, said that it is needed for food security. This site is best grade value soil. The development is inappropriate for location. Habitat loss will be enormous. Mitigation is not acceptable. The consultants' reports were poor. Surveys were conducted over very small time frames, 4 days in total being the average. Despite this, 35 species of birds were observed in winter, 45 species breeding. Many of these birds are on the red list. 90 skylarks were observed in January. Eurasian hobby is protected by the Countryside and Wildlife Act 1981. There are large penalties for disturbance and interference with breeding. You are ignoring this. 11 species of bats, 4 rare on site. Bat boxes will not mitigate. Bats will remain locked in their roots if it's too light and will starve to death. You have a duty to protect them. Surveys lack depth. Too many species left out. No surveys of things like barn owls, weasels, stoats, which are on the red list, insects or butterflies, to name a few. The surveys are now more than 2 years out of date. Hedgerows are habitats of principal importance, most of it in situ since the 1700s. You cannot replace this species-rich environment overnight. As the Amazon rainforest burns, so will the Sens Valley. Replacing 20 field ponds with 3 new ones is unacceptable. The whole eco-structure is balanced at the moment. Tamper with it and it will be destroyed. TPO 472 is being ignored. Mature trees cannot be replaced in the medium to short term. They support millions of small creatures and insects. Bats are at the top of the food chain. One bat ingests 3,000 insects per night. They are a sign of a healthy environment. The cracks and small holes in mature trees support biodiversity. You are adversely affecting our environment and putting at risk our health through climate change factors, air pollution, lighting, noise and possible water pollution. When the hedgerows and trees burn, will you be happy that you have destroyed the environment forever in the heart of rural England? This is our Amazon rainforest. Please do not let it burn. This is permanent, major and adverse.
Thank you. If any members of the committee wish to ask any questions, are you willing to do that? Would any member of the committee like to ask any questions? No? Thank you. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, members, I now intend to declare a comfort break, 10 minutes, so that people can have a wander about. So, and we are adjourning the meeting to order. I would like to ask the applicants, Mr. David Smith on behalf of Iron Properties, Mr. Tony Byrne on behalf of Jaguar Land Rover, and Mr. Simon Tucker on behalf of DTA to make their representations. I remind you that you may speak for total 10 minutes. I've agreed that they can speak from there, so you keep going backwards and forwards. And I've also agreed that if there are any questions from councillors of a technical nature, that they can field those technical questions to the experts. So thank you.
Chair, is that 10 minutes each?
No.
Thank you.
You need.
I do have a home.
I have in Cambridge.
Right, thank you. I'm sorry, could you please introduce yourself as you in this question?
Chair, David Smith from IM Properties. Our vision is to create a high quality employment park to meet demand from two leading international businesses. relevant local policy requires evidence of immediate need or demand. This has been demonstrated fully to the satisfaction of officers and their advisors. Jaguar Land Rover proposes a 2.9 million square feet global distribution campus for aftermarket parts. Tony Byrne of JLR will address you after me to tell you of the global significance of this development. However, suffice to say that this is a huge investment given current economic uncertainty and is a feather in the cap for Northwest Leicestershire. Whilst unemployment in the district may currently be low, this site would help to drive long-term growth and provide great resilience to the local and regional economy. JLR's proposals would safeguard and create vital jobs in Leicestershire and are supported expressly by the LEP and welcomed by the CBI, with the latter referring to them as a vote of confidence in the UK and East Midlands. JLR and DSV believe this location is the only suitable one to satisfy their requirements. Both need large, modern, energy-efficient buildings on a single site. Both companies are committed to skills and training programs that nurture talent and give local people opportunities. We have agreed to a planning obligation which captures this. We are also collectively committed to providing opportunities to physically access those jobs via means other than private car. Our transport proposals have been scrutinised and approved by 5 highway authorities. Simon will comment further. The design process has been lengthy and inclusive. We have done everything we can to minimise the visual impacts and other environmental effects as far as possible. This has been a balancing exercise to accommodate the operational requirements and resulting environmental impacts of large development in the countryside. Landscaping will be substantial and account for 30% of the site's area, and with bonding will in places be 120 metres deep. It's been designed as part of the wider scheme to deliver access, amenity and environmental benefits. We would plant around 30,000 trees, including many semi-mature specimens, and create up to 30 acres of new woodland. The proposals have been subject to extensive public consultation prior to submission. This has included meetings with local parish councils and public exhibitions held across 4 days last summer. As a responsible developer, we consider that communities that accept growth should not only expect their impact to be mitigated, but should also share in the benefits. And for this reason, we've set up a community fund to support local and community projects. Government guidance recognises this type of proposal has its own specific characteristics and must be accommodated to ensure and stimulate economic growth. The many positive technical consultee responses point to this being exactly the right location for this type of development. It enjoys almost direct access to the motorway junction, is sufficient distance from local settlements to avoid unacceptable impacts on residential amenity. The proposals accord with the relevant policies of the adopted local plans, and any residual harm to the area's landscape, in our view, is outweighed by the benefit of the proposals. For these reasons, we would ask that your decision is made objectively based on those technical consultations and resolve to grant planning permission as per the officer's recommendation.
Chair, good evening. Tony Byrne, I'm Head of Global Operations for Jaguar Land Rover. This is a vitally important project for us. Currently, we serve about 3.5 million customers globally with their vehicles. This will continue to grow as we grow. We have a service commitment and in many countries a legal responsibility to keep our customers mobile. We're currently meeting this global demand through a number of costly and inefficient operations across the Midlands. We'll need at least 3 more in the next 3 years. We're running out of space fast. So whether it's an oil filter or a body panel or any other vehicle component, for anything from a 1940s Land Rover to a modern Jaguar I-Pace, an all-electric vehicle, this is the facility that will give us the capacity to deliver on our future business global commitments. It's therefore absolutely crucial the success of our business. We need this facility to remain competitive, to be sustainable, to grow our business in a challenging global marketplace, to sustain and create jobs. The Midlands is the heart of our supply chain. We've looked carefully and hard. The final selected site needs a very special set of circumstances. It needs to be large and flat. We need connections to the motorway network. We need easy access to ports and airports. We need to be central in the UK, and we need to be in the right place to retain much of our existing workforce. This is the only site that can do that. Supporting this application therefore means supporting Jaguar Land Rover and our ability to commit to the economies of North West Leicestershire, the Midlands and the UK. People are undoubtedly concerned about sustainability and the environment. This site will consolidate the number of freight requirements across 10 existing locations and integrate all of that into one better coordinated and much more sustainable solution. We will reduce vehicle movements across our total network by some 25%, reducing about 1.5 million vehicle kilometres per year, about 1,350 tonnes of CO2 in the first year of full operations. Our ultimate goal is to combine the two logistics operations we currently run, Jaguar and Land Rover, separately into one fully integrated platform. We've recently achieved this in China and in Europe, delivering significant operational cost and service benefits. We need to do this in our UK master facilities, the hearts and lungs of our global aftermarket business. A skilled workforce is critical to our success. So when looking for a site, we've looked to existing locations, and it's paramount that we bring a number of people with us to this new operation. So this is about sustaining existing jobs and creating new ones. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I recognise that this is a really important decision for you. As Jaguar Land Rover's representative here, I want you to understand just how important this is to our business, to our people, our supply chain, and our commitment to the long-term investment in the UK. This will be transformational for our business. It'll help us remain competitive and keep on investing in the UK. We're absolutely committed, and that's why we've put our name to a 20-year lease. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share how important this is with Jaguar Land Rover. We very much look forward to investing in this project in the future. Simon.
Thank you. Simon Tucker from DTA, Transport Consultant to Developer. I'll start with accessibility. It is, of course, critical that access to jobs on the site is as easy as possible, both from a planning perspective and from the practicalities of recruiting and maintaining staff. We have taken a holistic approach to travel planning. We make a firm commitment to fund and operate site-specific bus services. Experience at Jaguar Land Rover Gaydon shows that these services to be self-sustaining, with around 10% of staff using them. Car sharing also has significant scope and benefits, with up to 32% car sharing achieved at the Harewood plant. JLR will have 2,355 parking spaces on the site for an overall workforce of around 3,000. This is to ensure that adequate provision is made without undermining the travel plan objectives. Whilst we are realistic about longer distances, there is scope for some cycling from Neasham, and we are providing improved crossing points over the motorway. For the application, we prepared a detailed assessment which considers the traffic impacts of the scheme on a local and a wide scale. We've had discussions with 5 highway authorities in the last 2 years, an unprecedented level of scrutiny. All have agreed with us and confirmed no objection to the application. Modelling we undertook includes region-wide modelling, takes into account all local plan allocations and known constraints, including congestion on the A42 and A42 corridor. The operators will work on a 24-hour basis, so most vehicle movements, including HGVs, will be outside rush hours. Transport assessment considered around 1,900 HGVs a day would be generated. With both end users now identified, that's more likely to be 600 a day, a third of what we tested. We do accept, though, that if unmitigated, there will be localised and wider impacts, and a comprehensive package has been put together and agreed with the highway authorities and your planning authorities. These include improvements to signalised junction 11 of the M42. This will improve junction operation to the point that existing queues on the A444 will be significantly reduced, even without development traffic. We understand the concerns about traffic on local roads, and in particular the A444 and a number of local villages, which you heard from this evening. These areas have been assessed in the model, and the impact is shown to be modest. We have, however, agreed with the council to provide a local transport impact fund as part of the travel plan. There will be a steering group to allow any issues raised with the operators, and funding will then be made available for local improvement schemes, which could include monitoring of HGVs through Wall Street, speed reduction measures through No Man's Heath, traffic calming in Chilcot and other local villages, and improved signage at junction 11. In conclusion, the issues raised are noted and understood. A comprehensive assessment has considered all the likely impact and has been agreed with all highway authorities involved in considering the planning application.
Thank you.
Are you willing to take questions?
Yes.
I've agreed that any questions that are fielded to the applicant, if they are of a very technical nature, can be answered by their technical consultants that are with them. Councillor John Bridges.
Thank you, Chairman, and through you, Chairman. Simon, if I can address you directly on this. There is questions I will ask at a later stage to our officers, but just asking you, one thing that happens a lot of the times in applications is somehow we get the modelling wrong, and we don't actually talk to the developers, that's them, because it's a major critical thing to you guys. So you thoroughly checked it, you believe the modelling format that Highways England, Leicester County Council and yourselves is correct, so that it won't hamper the function of your business, because we've got to consider your business along with the public, everybody, it's all integrated. So you feel happy that they've used the right format on this?
Thank you. Yeah, well, there's a number of points there. Firstly, as the developer and an owner of the site, I am properties looking at to me to deliver a solution that actually works in terms of access to the site, both now and into the future. There's no point agreeing a solution at planning if there's congestion at the front gate in 10 years' time, for example. So from the developer and the owner's perspective, we're comfortable that we've come to the right solution and the right level of mitigation. In terms of the scrutiny from the local highway authorities, that has been through a number of processes, including using Leicestershire's area-wide model, which has been validated in this, specifically revalidated in this area to make sure it was fit for purpose. That was then agreed with Highways England, who obviously have an interest, Leicestershire, Warwickshire and Derbyshire at the time, and that was agreed as the basis for going forward in terms of the actual software, if you like. In terms of the traffic generation from the site, what we did in the TA, because at the time, although we were having discussions with various end users, an end user, as you know, wasn't named on the application when it was submitted. So we assessed the use classes, and on the screen up there, you can see those were all assessed as warehousing, which is the planning, application seeks. And the area which isn't shown on there, on the right hand side, the outline area, was assessed for a generic B1C, B2, B8 use. So in terms of the modelling, we assumed it would be a manufacturing facility which generates more peak hour trips than a B8 use. And the numbers I referred to earlier, what that means is that actually in the modelling that we've done, we've assessed a much higher level of traffic coming out of the front gate, if you like, at the roundabout, than we now expect will happen now that we have a named occupier in the sense of DSB on the outline element of it and Jaguar Land Rover on the detail element. So short, long answer to the short was yes to the original question.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Geary, then Councillor Wyatt, then Councillor Legree, then I'll come back to them.
Thank you, Chairman. We heard from two of the gentlemen that this is for global distribution, where they need easy access to airports and to the ports. I would then argue that surely the rail hub at Kenworth would have been a more ideal solution, where containers could get to the ports by rail and we're right next door to an airport.
Councillor Geary, is that a question that you're posing to the applicant? Are you posing a question to the applicant?
Well, why did they not choose Kenworth?
Thank you, Councillor.
Okay, yeah, I can happily answer that. We looked at a number of sites across the UK, and you're right, there are a number of options. As I said in my comments, we strongly believe this is the best site, so we have to balance the access to ports, we have to balance access to airports, we have to balance our ability to serve the whole of the UK, serving the UK retail network from this facility as well as balancing closeness to our existing workforce. So there were a number of factors we took in consideration. This is also the only site we had available that had the ability to take our whole capacity. So we needed 2.9 million square foot, and we needed the height that this site offers. So this is the only facility the only piece of land where we've identified all those factors coming together.
Thank you. I think it was Councillor Wyatt next.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I was going to ask a question about the location. I find it difficult to believe that this is the only location possible for your project. So what other sites have you looked at? Because you talked about other sites, but you haven't really given us information of where you've actually looked.
Okay, so the main option we looked at was Desford, which is our existing Land Rover facility, which many people in the room will know. That doesn't give us the capacity we need over the future in terms of both the square footage and the height to maximise our opportunity. And it's not, whilst it currently serves a lot of our business, the access to ports, airports, and the motorway network is not what we need for the future. So we've gone through a very long process evaluating these two options as our primary options. We have looked at other parks around the Midlands, and we also looked at an option in Europe to take some of the volume. So we worked on this project extensively with our corporate property team, and we talked to our existing provider, Desford, and we've also looked at a number of options, particularly East Midlands Airport. We didn't look at Kegworth, but we looked at East Midlands Airport, and we didn't have the capacity on that facility to meet our requirements of 3 million square foot.
Thank you, Councillor Wyatt. Just for clarification for everyone in the room, when you're talking about height, I assume you're talking about the height of the buildings?
Yes, I'm sorry, yes, to confirm that, yes.
Councillor Legree.
Thank you, Chair. Traffic consultant, you in your report you mentioned that the estimated number of people walking and cycling to the site is around about 13%, which I find rather difficult to get my head around. I worked in traffic engineering most of my professional life, and I find that figure rather difficult to get my head around. How can I trust the rest of your analysis of traffic movement? And moving on with traffic movement, it was mentioned on the one of the earlier briefings from your side that traffic movements will be kept to a minimum during peak hour, which I can understand. But does that mean that there'll be additional HGV traffic trundling up and down the 444 or on the, what I still call the 453, the B road that goes down to Tamworth Station, a road I use frequently when travelling to the north of England? I'd like an answer to the question is that I just cannot believe your traffic analysis. I cannot believe the number of vehicles that you'd be putting onto the roads in that area along there, and I'd like to hear some confirmation about that. Thank you, sir.
John, can you be absolutely specific on your question reference the traffic? Do you have any more points you want to make?
That's the more point I want to make is that I want to be clarified before I make a decision, which is what I'm here for, Chair, is that I simply cannot believe that there are only 13% of the transferred workforce from either Desford or other JLR sites that will be cycling or walking to that remote site. And that puts doubt in my mind, Chair, about the rest of the traffic analysis.
Thank you, John. My concern is that you're actually expressing concern rather than asking questions until we get into the debate.
That is my question.
Thank you, Jay. I'm very happy to answer that. The portion of walking and cycling that's been referred to is a table, I believe, from the travel plan. So it isn't a document that directly led to the traffic generation assumptions that I described and explained to Councillor Bridges earlier. It is simply a statement of fact that the mode share recorded in the 2011 Journey to Work census data. So what we've quoted there isn't a forecast for our development. It's
please, no one interrupted you when you were speaking.
It isn't a forecast for how our development is going to operate. It was purely as is required of us by the standards. It's a way of explaining what the existing position is.
in that area. What the travel plan actually went on to do, and it's reported in the committee report, is provide a more realistic target of uses based on the fact that we expect walking to be relatively minor in terms of the mode share, that we expect some cycling, but that we expect the majority of the benefit arising from the travel plan, as I described earlier, to be from public transport, buses and car sharing.
Councillor Clark. Thank you, Chair. Questions to actually both people there. I'm a little cynical when it comes to listening to what developers are telling me and are promising us, and wonder why. Can we have guarantees on bunding? Can we have guarantees on tree numbers? That's point one. Next is JLR's future certain for another 20 years? Because again, there have been doubts cast in the past.
That's not actually a planning matter, can JLR's
well, with the, okay, fine. But can we have guarantees on weight restrictions for HGVs? Because a lot of HGVs use roads which are 7.5 ton restricted, and would JLR or whoever give instructions to follow correct weight limits, please?
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Chair, I'll take the first question. Yes, is the answer. Funding and trees. We've got, and we will, if things are approved, have a landscape plan which includes in detail funding, contours, a tree planting scheme, which was all done to give the greatest certainty that we could around the detailed elements of this scheme and therefore an understanding of the impacts. So we have to deliver against any plans that are approved, so I can give you those reassurances that we will.
Okay. And I will tackle the second point on vehicle weight restrictions. Absolutely. So our current facility in Desford, we've got clear signage. There's a number of signs around the village and the exits of the site. We did have one carrier breach that, and I terminated the contract the next day. So absolutely, yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's Peter Lieber from JLR, the agent for that. Just to go on from the first point in terms of the guarantee, there's a section 106 legal agreement for being part of the commission, if planning permission is granted, and that will have a number of obligations. One of those obligations will be to lay out the funding, the tree planting, all the landscaping as part of the detailed scheme, but that is an obligation on the developer. The second obligation will be to maintain it. So the guarantee is enforceable by the council.
Are there any more questions? Councillor Bridgen, can I remind you, please, it is questions only, not comments at the moment. You can make your comments later on.
Okay, so I was just looking in section 1.5 of the report we've got here. It says the proposed investment is time sensitive, with operations due to commence in 2022. How confident are we that the site will be occupied by that point, and what roughly is the lifespan of a site like this?
I'm not entirely sure about the question around lifespan. Perhaps you can clarify that in a second, but subject to planning, there is an agreement for lease in place with the occupier, and Tony can comment on that, confirm that as well, which will mean that we will have to deliver as the developer for this site, and it will be occupied by Jennifer Land Rover. The second part of the question, I'm afraid I didn't quite understand.
Can I just come back on that?
Yes, guys.
So it states in the report that it's a 20-year lease. At the point when that 20-year lease is up, what's the likelihood that the building will be out of use and will sit empty? Because if people don't like seeing commercial development anyway, they like it even less when it sits empty.
So I'll answer that behalf of JLR. So, I mean, our intention is this is our global logistics centre for the future. So, yes, we've taken the 20-year lease, but it's our intention, as we stand at the moment, that we've just roll forward.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions?
Councillor
Canning. Councillor Bridget has just asked the question I was going to ask.
So you don't want to ask?
No.
Does anyone else wish to ask any more questions? No? Thank you very much. Thank you. Please could the County Division member, Councillor Daniel Harrison, come forward to make their representation.
Two questions. Pinch one of mine.
I know, I'm sorry. Great minds think alike.
You have 3 minutes, Councillor
Harris. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members, I come to this meeting to speak for the thousands of people who will be affected by this development. The people who live near and far from the development. People whose lives will be affected by the vast increase of traffic. This is a very large site. The reality is the number of staff employed. Now, this is a key element that even this evening I've not heard satisfactory. There's 3,000 to 3,500 virtually staff planned here. Over the three-shift system, there'll be 1,000 people at work who will clock off as 1,000 people come in. So that's 2,000 people. There's 1,000 heavy goods vehicles. There could be up to 3,000 vehicle movements in an 8-hour shift. So that would create a situation of 375 vehicle movements on that small roundabout. Now that's been the bugbear, my position and stance on this is about the integrity. I have spoke, and one of the gentlemen sitting opposite me suggested there'd be 1,200 movements a day. So with 3,000 staff, how can that be so? How can it be when we're talking of 2,000 heavy goods vehicles? So this is the core of my concern, and the people that I represent are unable to jump up and say, hey, what about us? Because they will be affected. If someone tells us the credibility is 1,200, but there's going to be 3,000 staff over three shifts, and they're not all going to turn up on buses, and they're not all going to cycle in. I find that hard to understand and appreciate. So I'm absolutely concerned about that. I know the A444 will already suffer with jams, traffic jams, from a village called Castle Gresley if you go towards Burton. So you can imagine what it would add in tremendous value of danger and problems for local people. I've always took the feeling that the slip roads are inadequate. I spoke to the MD over a year ago, and I mentioned it in this council chamber a few weeks back when they had a presentation. The slip roads are short. Coming down from Ashby, there's a short bit, and then you're up a hill, and you're onto the roundabout. Now, you imagine that volume of traffic. They're going to be on that junction. They're going to be on that roadway. So they're going to be on the near side lane, and they'll be on it 12 months of the year, whether it's dark, snowy, whatever the condition.
Thank you, that's 3 minutes.
That is not an opportunity to
well,
start. Does any member of the committee wish to ask Councillor Harrison any questions? Councillor Legree.
Dan, you mentioned about traffic. You mentioned about the 444 through Bresley. What about Twycross? What about the old A453 going down towards Tamworth? Do you foresee additional traffic going on there, particularly in the middle of the night?
I do, Mr. Chairman. I foresee traffic problems all around, because where are these people going to come from? They're going, you know, which areas? Everywhere is going to be jammed. It's not, you know, all I can say is tremendous project, tremendous tenant, but where was the common sense? Where did they think about the people who live there?
Can I restrict you to just answering the question?
Yes, okay, I was just trying, sorry about that. yes, it will be terrible, John. It will be terrible for lots and lots, thousands of people's roadways are going to be upset. And they're going to have a lot of interference from
this. Thank you, Councillor Harrison. Thank you. Does anyone else wish to ask a question?
No.
No? Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Harrison.
Thank you.
Could the ward member, Councillor Richard Blunt, come forward and make their representation? I remind you that you have 5 minutes to speak, Councillor Blunt.
Speaking. I just want to start the meeting by thanking the IM Properties, Jackie Land Rover, and our officers for working so constructively together over the last year. And anything I say, there's not a reflection of any individuals or any professionalism. These are my views as a ward member. Over the last 20 years, I've represented Appleby Ward, and every single one of my leaflets over those 20 years has made a commitment to fight to keep the fields green and to fight excessive development. I'm here tonight to keep the fields green and to say no to excessive development. My initial view when I first saw this application is the same as it is now. I believe this is lazy planning, and there are better places to put these buildings. Clever planning would use a brownfield derrick site in the Greater Birmingham area. Clever planning would consider putting the building somewhere with a rail connection and good public transport, such as East Midlands Gateway. But a greenfield site on a motorway junction is easier and cheaper, but that doesn't make it better. We have an up-to-date local plan to safeguard and shape where a development takes place, and I hope to show you that there are valid planning reasons to either defer or refuse this development. There are three valid planning reasons to refuse this application: policy, sustainability, and need. Let me start with policy. Our policy is to use only greenfield sites as the last resort when all other options have been exhausted. We have East Midlands Gateway with capacity for this building. There are other viable sites that should be looked at before we sacrifice this greenfield site. I think the applicant should have done a detailed study of all brownfield sites that this council should have seen in the East and West Midlands. This is a global centre. It doesn't matter if it's 5 or 10 miles either way. National Planning Policy Framework in paragraph 12 says that when a planning application is in conflict with an up-to-date development, planning permission should not normally be granted. Our plan is up to date, and therefore this application is in conflict with our approved plan. Let's turn now to sustainability. Make no mistake, this is not a sustainable location. All goods will be transported by lorries, and nearly all workers will travel by car. That might have been okay in the 20th century. Indeed, when the pits closed here, we needed all sorts of jobs, and we made all sorts of compromises. But in today's world, we have a strong green agenda, and that's just not acceptable. We talk the talk about being a green council, and we also talk the talk about being a green community, but now we need to prove it. No one can reasonably walk to this site to work. No one can reasonably cycle to work to this site. And there are no large settlements of population nearby, so all the workers are driving long distances to get here. We all know that more goods need to travel by rail, and the road capacity is being reached on all our roads. The local plan policy, EC2.2A, says that the site should be accessible by choice of transport, including sustainable transport mode. This site fails that test. Indeed, it would be hard to find a more unsustainable site if you tried. And I turn to need. I'm concerned officers have made no independent assessment of the alternative sites, particularly in the East Midlands Gateway, and relied on the applicant's claims. Indeed, if there were no end user attached to the scheme, then I truly believe the scheme would be recommended for refusal. So in conclusion, I believe there are genuine planning reasons to refuse this application and have grounds to fight any appeal. Indeed, I would not be here today to recommend the option to you unless I believe there were sound arguments for refusal. We're not NIMBYs. Everybody in this room has to pass difficult applications in their own wards, in their own areas. Everybody's done that. Our council is pro-development, and that's why we've built the East Midlands Gateway and many other distribution centres and houses across the district. But we cannot ignore our local plan and build on greenfield sites that are not sustainable when other viable sustainable sites exist in the district and beyond. I'd ask someone on this committee to move refusal of the application on the grounds that the proposed site is in conflict with the local plan and is not sustainable. then we can have a full debate and people can see democracy in action. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor.
Very important
is, if does anyone wish to ask any questions of Councillor Blunt? No? Thank you, Councillor Blunt. I now open the debate up to the committee. Does anyone wish to speak? But before we do that, we will ask Mr. Ellison to sum up the comments.
Thank you, Chairman. This is some very, very detailed comments from both sides there. That will inform the debate moving forward. Before the debate starts, I just thought it'd be useful to make a few points of clarification for members. We had a lot of concern expressed around the highways issues. I just wanted to remind members that this development proposal has been very rigorously assessed by not only Highways England, but Leicestershire County Council, Staffordshire, Warwickshire and Derbyshire County Councils, and there aren't any objections raised on highway impacts, so just to remind members of that. A number of comments were also made around issues concerning ecology, loss of species, habitat, impacts on the River Meads. Again, we consulted very closely with our experts who provide advice on those matters, such as the Environment Agency, Natural England, County Council's ecologists, and again, there are no technical objections in terms of any of those matters, so just to remind members of those points. If I might, in terms of the local plan and whether proposals come to the local plan, can we just ask Ian Nelson to provide a couple of comments on that before we start the debate? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you. In terms of the local plan, it's important to remember that all the policies in the local plan have to be read together. And in particular, I would note the policy S3, which is the policy about the countryside, makes a cross-reference to policy EC2. And policy EC2 is very clear. It's only necessary to demonstrate one of need or demand. And in this particular case, we have clear demand with two named occupiers who are taking up all of the proposed buildings.
Thank you to the officers. I'll now open the debate. Does anyone on the committee wish to speak? Councillor John Bridges.
Thank you, Chair. I know I asked the applicants in regards to the highways, and I respect Mr. Olsen's statements as regards that. But I'd like to go to the case officer, ask him a similar question in regards to modelling. If I can be a bit more specific why I'm labouring on this, Chairman, is that there's two points I want to make sure here. I want to make sure that we have assessed it in the correct manner, right? In the event that it falls down, that we have a second line. Now, I think I know the answer, Chairman, but I want to clarify that for my colleagues who are sitting around this table.
Thank you, Councillor. Mr. Arthur.
Thank you, Chair. In the report, by points 11, point 12, hopefully will be helpful, perhaps, in especially a summary of the advice that the County Highway Authority has given us, which sets out the different types of modelling used. As you can see, there's a number of different approaches employed, and then the following paragraphs go on to say, well, you're getting different results, as you'd expect, but we'll take a more robust approach, and worst case scenario, we, County Highway Authority, consent that this works from a traffic impact point of view. So, hence no objections from Leicester County Council, and they've also helped sort of built in the approach that Highways England would need to take on a strategic road network, and they can report them. Highways England basically just confirm essentially what Leicester County Council told us for both local and strategic networks. Okay. If that helps.
Councillor Bridges?
Yeah, thanks for allowing me to come back. Yes, thank you, Mr. Knightley, for that answer. I accept it there, in principle there. It's just the fact that at times when these things don't work according to plan, I want to just make sure that we thoroughly examine it
through the right channels, making sure that Highways England, Leicester County Council, and all the associated authorities in the area have demonstrated that they believe it to be correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bridges. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor John McGree.
Thank you, Councillor Nigel Smith. I'm acutely aware that I've probably gone on for too long, and I've asked the chairman to
shut me down.
I know. I've asked the chairman to shut me up, I've got some deep concerns about this application. Some real deep concerns is that we have a local plan, which personally, with Councillor Bridges and many other colleagues, we worked hard to get it up into this council by 2017. Which is finally approved, and that site out there, like many other sites within northwest Leicestershire, was designated as countryside. Now, we knew at the time is that designating anything as countryside will only last as long until somebody comes along with a planning application, which we're now faced with. I don't think at the time when we were putting the local plan together is that we ever dawned on us that this site would actually come under pressure for development. I've expressed my concerns about the traffic calculations on this, and I'm not sure. But I need to ask through you, Chair, two questions to Chris Elston, please. My first question is that have the NFU or the relevant other agricultural authorities been consulted on this application with the 90 hectares of prime agricultural land being lost, and what their comments are. I can't see anything in the report. Secondly, is that have the airport been consulted with the glare coming off this building, particularly with that white roof that they're proposing, and that I can't use the words that I want to use, but that rather disjointed colour scheme that they're doing, which looks like something out of a horror movie. Are pilots like to, and this is a serious question, Chair, are pilots going in and out of the airport likely to be affected with the glare of that building? Thank you. So that's a question that I want to go on, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Bree. After that, Mr. Knightley can answer these questions, and then I'd like Mr. Nelson to come in on the questions regarding the allocation of land.
Right, first the question is the question about the NFU. The statutory consultee for loss of agricultural land is actually Natural England. They're consulting anything over 20 hectares loss, I think. And yes, consultant and no objection. In terms of the airport, it's not in the consultation zone for the airport, so we have strictly defined consultation zones based on height and its proximity to the airport, and it's outside the zone. So.
Mr. Elson?
Yeah, just to have one other point in terms of the colour scheme and including there, but that scheme was carefully, the colour scheme was carefully assessed with our urban designer and in close consultation with our urban designer, that colour scheme was deemed to be appropriate and suitable.
Thank you, Mr. Elson. Mr. Nelson?
Yeah, I refer to what I said earlier on, that all policies and the local plan have to be read together. I think, as we all know, sometimes through bitter experience, sometimes policies conflict, at least on the surface, if not in reality. And policy EC2 is a key consideration in this case.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. John, you wanted to come back?
I certainly did, Chair. Is that... The report is excellent, Chair, and I wish that to go down in the minutes, is that we've been well briefed on this, is that both the Chief Executive and the planning team have briefed us well on this particular scheme, and I thank them for doing that. We've gone into details, and indeed a lot of us went out on site and visited the site from various vantage points, and I learned a lot from that experience, and thank you for organising that. That was really worthwhile. You did provide us with, Chair and Chief Executive, with a briefing in this room last week from QC from council about planning, and indeed the QC was involved in certainly scrutinising the report tonight, which I thanked him for. The issue that he loaded to us was very clearly is that, yes, Ian Nelson is correct, is that we're meant to take the local plan in its whole, holistically, rather than in individual bits. But QC did actually make clear to me, the way I interpreted it, Chair, was that we can actually look at specifics. We criticise specifics and actually reject specifics on the issue. I think, Chair, is that the I have concerns about traffic growth. I have concerns about light pollution at this site. The economic growth plan for the whole of Leicestershire designates the whole of the A42 and 42 corridor as an economic growth area. Fair enough, I'm aware of that. Whether that's going to be affected by HS2 or not, I don't know. But at the other hand, the fact is that having that site there, where we have other sites within northwest Leicestershire, and I apologise to Councillor Canning for saying this, but who have already been inundated with exponential growth on distribution, namely the economic growth area, and which is going to be considerably more, with 5,000 or 6,000 houses going on in Nottinghamshire, in that particular patch, and so on, and the growth area up there. I can't argue, I can only look at the planning applications in front of me. I can't make any comment, we can't make any comment on why here, why there, why at Timbuktu. We can only look at this application. I think this application site is wrong, clearly wrong, and it's wrong at this moment in time. The economic growth plan goes through for 50 years, and 50 years' time it may be a different kettle of fish. At the moment is that the A42, M42, as a regular use of that route, is chocker. You can't go south at the morning, much more greater speed than 20 mile an hour. And to cut this conversation short, I cannot believe that loading the existing highway infrastructure on the network at that point, at this time, with minimal mitigation, with a set of signals, at another badly designed rushed junction when it was built back in the 90s. I'll leave it at that, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Gree. I would like to remind you and every other member of this committee that none of the highway authorities, none of the consultees have raised any objections. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Canning.
Well, as Councillor Ring has just said, I'm a councillor in Castle Donington and I am fully aware of the impact of huge warehouses. Going out to visit the site was interesting to me, to put it politely. And it didn't make my mind up one way or the other. I am actually speaking to the residents that are here, and I want you to know that I have listened. I have listened to what you've said. I have listened to your objections. And I am putting my councillor head on for planning as I have to look at this. So looking at the site, one half of me says, with the landscaping that is happening, the actual visual impact is not that great. We did go all the way around that site, and with the bunding that's going to be in, the actual visual impact is minimal. Bearing in mind I live in Castle Donington, and what is going up around us, you just cannot imagine. I turn out of my road and there is one right in front, and it is horrible. So from that point of view, that was a bonus. But then I look at the lovely countryside, and that is the other side. Those rolling hills with nothing there. And I look at what happens to Donington, and I go, if it happens once, is it going to happen again, and again, and again? So that's my heart. as a as sitting on this committee, we have to make these decisions, and it is really, really hard. The report is very, very thorough, and we know we cannot, as a planning committee, refuse this on anything to do with highways, because highways have said it is okay. That is not grounds for refusal. It doesn't matter how long you sit in a queue of traffic. It doesn't matter what disruption. I'll say again, I live in Castle Donington. If anybody tries to get through Castle Donington whilst all the works were being done, it's a little better now. It is a nightmare, and I am there with you, but there is still nothing we can do about that. Here, to me, the decision is about, it is a balance. It is all about balance. We have got a very, very well written report. It's a comprehensive report. I trust our officers to have done the work that I can't do. I'm just a lay person. I can't go out and sort of do these things. I trust what is there. I was asking during the break about the visuals, because to me, what it looks like is quite an important thing as you are driving around. All right, I can't do anything about the roads, but visually. And it was mentioned that those images were put out by the applicant. And I checked, they have been checked by our consultants as well. That is, as far as I can see, what is correct. So it's the balance, and it is now the balance that we have to decide whether the need justifies the loss of those hills. And that is the problem. If we decide today that that need is not great enough to outweigh the loss of the hills, if we decide that today, we have got to come up with grounds so secure that it is going to withstand the appeal that will absolutely come. So, as a committee, if we are of a mind to refuse it, Councillor Blunt spoke very eloquently, we need to know if those grounds, if we can put something together that is strong enough, bearing in mind there's a lot of things that we can't touch, and I'm not sure whether that is so. My big concern, as asked by Councillor Bridgend, is what happens to these huge sites that we are inundated with when they are no longer fashionable, when what is being used is no longer technologically sound. But again, I suspect that's not planning grounds either. That is something maybe we need to look into the future, policies to protect so that maybe it can get returned. I asked about the lifespan of these big warehouses, and I was told about 25 years. So that is something I would like to know, and it's not part of this application, but it is something that I will certainly be pursuing in future. Still haven't made up my mind, and I'm still sitting thinking, and I'm looking for seeing what the other councillors are saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Canning. In fact, you're absolutely right, it is not a planning consideration what's going to happen in 25 years' time, and we can only assess what we have on the table in front of us now, not what we may or may not happen in the future. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to echo an awful lot. I'd like to echo an awful lot of what Rachel has said. I think she's spoken very well and very wisely, as I always expect. I would point two areas out to members. One local, one not so local. The local one is at Ellistown, and it is the Amazon factory, Amazon warehouse. I saw that going up. I remember it as field. In fact, I've actually been in that field helping a cow give birth to a calf. Long before, of course, that building went up. It went up and it was horrendous. I drive past it now, don't even notice it. And the other area that I would say to people, where you're getting developments as big as this we're talking about here, is Milton Keynes. And drive around Milton Keynes and you don't see the buildings, you don't see, because they've got the bunding correct, you've got the tree planting correct, They've got the organisation of it correctly put into it. And I feel that, yeah, as it stands now, seeing that big building stuck in that field, it would be horrendous. There'll be in a few years' time, and I don't think it would represent the same horror. But is it right for the area? And that is another point. And again, like Rachel, still not totally convinced one way or the other. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Does anyone else wish to speak? No? Thank you. Chairman. Sorry, Councillor Geary.
Thank you. Chairman, I'd firstly like to thank James Knightley for a very full and comprehensive report. It must have took an awful lot of actually putting together. However, James can only work with the figures that he has. It's now been six times in the last 7 days I have been warned about transport and the possibility of trying to refuse this on transport issues. However, I do feel it necessary to point out one or two of the problems as I see it. When we look at this development, we have 380 loading bays at the units for lorries. We have 3,017 car parking spaces. This must give some indication of the vehicle movements there will be on our roads. The report also goes on to say they're expecting 4,781 posts to be actually generated from this development. Another indication of how many vehicle movements. I was interested to hear tonight that HGV movements on this site will be down to 600 a day. That works out at one every 2.5 minutes. What confuses me, and I'm easily confused, is the Highways England and our local highways authorities have no comments or can see no problems. However, the report clearly states that the submitted travel plan was taken from the 2011 census for journey to work data for this area. That's 8 years out of date before we kick off. We know that the 42, A42, M42, A44 and the B5493 feed onto the Junction 11 roundabout. Because of this volume, or the anticipated volume, we are going to have partial signalisation. That will save Mr Harrison's problem, hopefully with vehicles queuing along the carriageway to actually get onto the roundabout. It goes on to say that the monitoring and evaluation of development HGVs will be using the A44 corridor for a period after the opening and occupation of the vehicle. It also suggests a greater level of HGV traffic along the A444 to and from the A5 rather than using the M42 south. Development traffic is anticipated to be centred around the A44 corridor. That's bad news for the people living in Appleby, Twycross and Sipston. So why am I concerned about the traffic problems? 5 weeks ago, I wouldn't have been. However, on Friday the 9th of August, I was in Pembroke and I had to make an urgent journey back for a very important meeting. 10 years ago, that was a comfortable journey in 4 hours. On this occasion, I calculated 5.5 hours and got it wrong. All roads are pretty congested as you come up country, but when I got onto the M42, problems started. At junction 34, that's where the M42 branches off from the M40 to London, traffic was at a standstill. And it was a crawl then through, right by Solihull, till we got to the M6 junction. It eased somewhat then. However, when we got to junction 9, that's where the Toll Road and the Tamworth Road branch off, once again, I was at a standstill. The clock's ticking. And was at a standstill, and then it started to move very, very slowly right up to the Tamworth junction. I was anticipating either an accident or a broke down vehicle. There was nothing. This was pure volume of traffic. After the Tamworth junction, I had to admit that it did ease off and I had a good run home. I didn't make it in 5.5 hours. The stress levels were through the roof. Now then, I would imagine a lot more motorists and commercial drivers caught up in this scenario would be very much stressed themselves. Stress is a killer. We have to be conscious of health implications to people using our highways. And it can only be made worse with putting more and more traffic on the roads. Not only is it just the stress, when you're stuck in stationary traffic, you have to turn your air conditioning off because all you're doing is filling your vehicle with everybody else's fumes. So we have an air pollution problem as well. Having experienced this, I am now very, very much concerned about health implications of using our overcrowding roads, and applications like this will only be making matters much worse. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Geary. Councillor, did you want to just come back?
If you allow me to ask a question, and then while the officers maybe is looking for the information on clarity or clarification, I'd just like to make a statement. So the question will be, I don't remember counting that many loading bays or parking spots on there. So
it's
if you could check.
It's on there, you haven't
No, I don't remember. Councillor Geary, I just don't remember. I'm asking for clarity on it. Second point is, I'm doing over 1,200 miles a week, and today I got stuck in a traffic jam because it was 6 hours. One lorry on the M6, it happens. I've been travelling that M42 that you're talking about now for 18 months, every day, and know exactly what the traffic's like. In 18 months, I've been held up in a traffic jam once. The rest of the time.
I've not interrupted speakers. Please do not interrupt the councillors.
The rest of the time, it's just been the normal traffic you get around city centres. Sorry, we had the barrister talking to us about this the other day. It's unfortunate, but that's how it is. We are at the moment, we're a victim of our logistical position in the country. And it's great on one side of it because we've had the growth over the years. You know, Councillor Blunt mentioned it. It's great. On the other side, you kept things like this that you'd love to turn around and say, no. But the fact of the matter is, we are, as Councillor Canning said, we're here and we've got to work on the facts of what put in front of us. The landscaping was a concern of mine. It was, and in the briefing I spoke about it, and I'm happy to see 29,000 trees and some of them root bore. The landscaping that Councillor Clark talked about at Ellistown, I was consulted on that, and that's what we could do. And I said, well, let's create blooms and plant semi-mature trees. Councillor Clark, you're from there. That worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
So I agree with Councillor Cannon. I don't like what I see up there. But there's a lot gone into this as regards to landscaping. A tremendous amount. In a perfect world, I'd love to turn around and say, no, right, we live in the country. But I agree with Councillor Cannon, we've got no chance of winning this appeal. Now, Councillor, Chairman, do I have the clarification on the parking?
I understand that the number was correct. Is that correct? Yes, that's the number is correct.
Could I have that number, please?
I think I've stopped getting the
in terms of loading bays, you've got two large units, screen behind them. They've got lots of 31 loading bays in, which is 24. So two of those is 248 to start with. 16 on unit one.
Sorry, Chair, it just has to be exact. Just
I don't think the after gear is bigger than would have been bought around.
Thank you, and thank you, Councillor Gearing.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to comment?
No.
No. Right. I'd like to sum up, if I may, before I bring the officers in for their final comments. I'd like to remind everyone that Highways England have no objections, subject to conditions. Leicestershire County Council Highways have no objections, subject to conditions. Derbyshire County Highways have no objections, subject to conditions. Staffordshire County Council Highways have no objections. Warwickshire County Council Highways also have no objections. Leicestershire County Archaeological have no objections, subject to some conditions. The Leicestershire County Council Archaeologist has no objections. Leicestershire County Council Ecologist has no objections. Leicestershire County Council Rights of Way has no objections, subject to conditions. And I would like to actually agree with Councillor Bridges. I looked at the public footpath and decided not to risk going down it, because I think we need to be going to get down that one. Leicestershire County Lead Local Flood Authority have no objections. The Environment Agency has no objections. Natural England have no objections. Severn Trent have no objections. North West Leicestershire District Council Conservation Officer has no objections. North West Leicestershire District Council Environmental Health have no objections. North West Leicestershire District Council Urban Designer have no objections. We have, however, had 431 objections from local residents, including from Appleby Environment and residents against Project Mercia. We have received objections from 16 parish councils. North Warwickshire and South Derbyshire councils have raised concerns, including highway impact, which has been covered by the further no objections. Measham Parish Council and Clifton Campbell, who are the two largest, I believe, areas of habitation close to it, again have not objected. And we have had a letter of support from the Leicestershire and Leicester Enterprise Partnership. So those are the facts, councillors. I'd like the officers now to make comments from the themes on the debate if they so wish.
Thank you, Chairman. There's not a great deal to add to that. I think the Chairman's pointed out that there aren't any technical objections from any of the statutory consultees, fully considered the number of objections raised from residents and parish councils. In particular, we don't take lightly concerns about developments being contrary to the local plan. We wouldn't be bringing an application to committee if we felt that the proposal was contrary to the local plan. We think that the proposal conforms with policy EC2 in terms of immediate need or demand, and that there is some inevitable harm, but the benefits actually outweigh that harm. In terms of Councillor Kelly's concerns about the countryside, it's inevitable to say there will be some impacts, but we consider that the mitigation measures proposed are satisfactory, and a reasonable refusal on landscape grounds alone, I'm not convinced, and my professional advice is that would stand up at appeal. So I think that's all I need to say, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Following those comments and the comments from the statutory advisory people, I have decided to move from the chair that this application be permitted. Is anyone willing to second that? Councillor Bridges?
I'll second that, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Bridges. So it's been moved and seconded that this application be approved. Now, this will have a recorded vote, and I will hand over the Democratic Services Officer to explain the procedure for voting and carry out the vote. Claire, will you please take over?
Thank you, Councillor Smith. So this is a reminder to members that I'm going to read your name out individually. We will need to make sure we use our microphones to respond for the other room. We are voting for the motion, against the motion, or abstaining to permit the development according to the officer's recommendation. Councillor Bohm.
For the motion.
Councillor Bridgen.
For the motion.
Councillor Canny.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Sorry.
For.
Councillor Geary.
Against.
Councillor Bridges.
For.
Councillor Holt.
For.
Councillor Legree.
Against.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Wyatt.
Against. The voting was as follows. For the motion to permit, 7. Against the motion to refuse, 3. No abstentions. Therefore, planning permission is granted.
Shame on you! Well said. Shame on you!
And shame on you, sir. We have not disturbed you.
You are going to disturb us.
We never had a say. I therefore declare the meeting closed.
It's disgusting. What about me?